Of all movies about mobsters, Goodfellas has an especially distinctive voice.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
That's the voice of the narrator, based on a real-life New Yorker who grew up in the mob. Henry Hill's life of crime began when he met the well-dressed and intimidating men who spent their days at a taxi cab stand.
Even before I first wandered into the cab stand for an after-school job, I knew I wanted to be a part of them. It was there that I knew that I belonged. And to me, it meant being somebody in a neighborhood that was full of nobodies.
This morning we'll talk about how the world learned Henry Hill's well-known story. He told his tale to the author of a book called Wise Guy. That book has been reissued on its 25th anniversary, and here is the story of the book. In the 1980s, Henry Hill was in prison and agreed to testify against his fellow mobsters. Prosecutors wanted Hill to do a book so he'd have money to pay his lawyers as he cooperated. So they summoned a reporter named Nicholas Pileggi to meet Hill in hiding in the Witness Protection Program.
There were two very important things about Henry Hill. One was that he was a little cog. He was sort of a soldier in Napoleon's army. And I said, you know, if you're going to do a book about Napoleon, it might be interesting to see that world from the point of view of the soldier. And the second thing was that he was extremely articulate. He was funny, and he was an easy interview.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am talking to you about easy interviews, but he remembered everything. The first money he made was on a number. He bet the number. He was a little kid, like 16 or 17. Number came in, and it was like $1,200. And I said, what'd you do with the money? And he said, I put it down on a yellow Bonneville convertible. I mean, this guy not only remembers what he did, he remembers the color of the car.
How did you make sure that he was, in the end, telling you the truth then?
Well, that's interesting. Everything he told me, he was basically telling the FBI. And if he lied, or the FBI or the U.S. attorney caught him in a lie, he was getting yanked out of the program. He was gone. He was going to go back into prison where about 1,400 mob guys were waiting to kill him.
Well, now, this is a guy who had certain qualities I think you could call admirable. He was a charming guy. He was articulate. He works extremely hard in the story that he lays out.
He wants to get ahead
and is willing to do anything and put in any amount of hours to do it. So how did he end up going so very, very wrong?
Well, because he wanted to put all that energy into doing bad things. He didn't want to go and work anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
As he pointed out to me a couple of days, he said, I'm not a subway guy. I'm not going to get on the subway and go to work. He thought of those people as suckers. His father was an electrician. He says, my father gets on the subway every day and he goes back and forth and he comes home with no money. I'd rather go out there and steal and make as much money as I can and live as good life as I can. And you watch what happened with his money. He would make a huge amount of money. They'd just score heavily, and they would just take a suitcase full of cash, jump on a plane, fly to Las Vegas. Sometimes they would take private planes and stiff the private charter service. I mean, everything had to be a scam and a ripoff. And they would go, and then they would lose all this money in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and then fly back and have to go rob somebody else. That's the lifestyle.
And what happened to this guy when he went from total anonymity? As you point out, he just never put his name on anything. I don't think he even had a Social Security number, did he?
No, God, no. Well, I'm sorry. He had several.
He had several, but no real Social Security number.
No, none at all.
Yes, exactly. And then he goes from that to talking to you and becoming famous. Did he relish that or regret it a little bit?
I think he's ambivalent about it. He's proud of his book, but he knows he had betrayed all of these people to whom he was closer than anything.
He seemed not to adjust all that well to life in the
Witness Program. No, he didn't. Well, he was an addictive person to begin with. Once he went into the Witness Program, he wound up drinking more than he should. There was probably not a pill out there he didn't take.
He even ended up getting arrested a few times.
Oh, many times. I mean, for drunken driving, a couple of drug busts. But when he got arrested 99% of the time, of course, he would be arrested under whatever alias they gave him. And then he would call the marshals, and then somehow they would get him out. So it gave him a kind of immunity, but it also meant that there was nothing to hold him back. There was one point when he and his wife were separated, and he calls up and he said, I got to tell you something, I'm getting married. I said, what are you getting married for? You're already married. You got two kids. And he said, no, I'm getting married. She's wonderful. Say hello. So the girl gets on the phone. I say, hello. She said, hello. I'm so happy I'm getting married.
And
then Henry gets on the phone. He says, see, congratulate me. Congratulate. I said, Henry, you are already married. No. He said, no, I'm not marrying under my other name. I'm under my new name.
Oh, of course. Then
you
it's
see,
fine.
That, oh, of course, Henry. Now I realize it. That, of course, was annulled. But that's so, who he is. You see, that's the way these guys live. They move in a manic world with no downtime.
You guys still talk?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, we've never not talked. When I was writing the movie, in fact, he was extraordinarily helpful because the name of the book, is Wise Guy. And then it turns out Warner Brothers didn't want to use that title because there was a television show called Wise Guy at the time.
Oh, yes, that's right.
It was a good television show. And so Marty Scorsese, with whom I wrote, kind of knocking out, what the hell can we call this thing? You know, and everything sounded like such a terrible cliche. And then we got Henry on the phone, and I said, what else did they call you? You know, what? They said, oh, we're like Goodfellas, which meant he was in the mob. He was a member. So there it is.
Now and again, people worry about whether movies like that glorify the mafia. Did you glorify Henry Hill?
I don't think so. All you've got to do is look at the movie. You know, the first half of the movie is this little kid falling in love with a lifestyle. And a lot of people like the beginning of the movie because it's great fun. But then the criminality of that world kicks in. And then you see the price you pay. There's not much to glorify.
Does Henry Hill miss those times?
Oh, I'm sure he does. It's a kid with very little education, a whole bunch of money. He could go to the Copacabana. He could walk through the kitchen in the Copacabana and get a table right there in front with Tony Bennett singing to him. I mean, now, I don't think of that as glorifying the lifestyle, but I'm just trying to articulate what it was about that lifestyle that then allowed him to do horrible things, like beat people up and break their arms by slamming a car door on it. I mean, for certain types, like Henry and the guys around him, that's what they were willing to do to be able to have the money and the access and the power that they derived.
Nicholas Pileggi is the author of Wise Guy from 25 years ago, a book that became the movie Goodfellas, for which he wrote the screenplay with Martin Scorsese. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Greene.